Kumlen Rabat Gemara, we are up to Dav Chav Ches Amar Aleph, and again, the Zchus of learning together, there should be a Zchus of Klal Yisrael, that there should be no longer any more Chayle, Amcha, B'tayvei Yisrael, and nobody should get sick. Everybody should be well and healthy. Okay, we are up to the two dots of Chav Ches Amar Aleph, and we're going down that, you know, we're talking about Tumah as well as the kind of wicks and everything else you can use. So the last thing we learned was that in the Mishkan, that the Mishkan had a number of covers. We had the cover of the flax, and therefore we learned from there that oil, a cover, can only, not talking about transferring tumah from, let's say, a corpse to something else, a utensil that's lying in the same room, because then it doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's a tefach by a tefach, we're talking about if the cover itself becomes tameh. So you said that wood itself does not become tameh, only flax is the only thing that becomes tameh. And we talked about the Mishkan. The Mishkan is has in it has a number of layers in the cover. It has the flax in the bottom, and then it has goat's hair, and then it has then you have the Elim Adamim, the red rams, and you have the Tachash. We'll see later whether the Tachash and the Elim Adamim were one or there were two separate covers. We thought about the Kroshim, but the Kroshim obviously are not really part of the Mishkan. It's a Kedesh for the Mishkan, even though it's not really a cover, it's only a plank, and therefore it's a wall, but it's an integral, as some of the Shoyim say, it's holding up the whole Mishkan, so therefore that can also be referred to as oil. But we brought down on Rabbi Elazar's question, so now we're going to analyze Rabbi Elazar's question. And his question was as follows. Since the covers of the Mishkan was also a hide of animals, so obviously that's an oil, but does it have to be a kosher animal, or could it be a non-kosher animal? So the Gemara has a discussion. Gufa, let's analyze the last thing that we brought down before. Boy, Rabbi Loza asked the question. Oid behema tumeya, the hide of a non-kosher animal, mahu sheyitame tumas oilin, that it itself becomes tame, when it's an oil, that it itself become tame. So chedemai kamaboyle, what exactly is this question? Bearing in mind that we learn out the concept of oil by paraduma, that you sprinkle on it because of things that become tame, we learn from Mishkan, which is also referred to as oil. So what exactly is this question? The question is, one of the covers is made from this animal called tachash, and we were trying to work out this tachash, what was it? Was it a kosher animal or non-kosher animal? If it was a kosher animal, then oil is limited to kosher, and if it's a non-kosher animal, then oil expands even to include non-kosher. So it hides. Says the Gemara, Tommy, are you tired? Rabbi Yosef, I don't understand. My Taboile, what exactly is this question? Since we're learning from the Mishkan, definitely the Mishkan only used kosher animals. How do I know? Tanina, didn't we learn? Like, Huchshru l'melech shamayim, they didn't allow for service of Hashem, Ela or behemet tehed al-bavad, only kosher animals. And we'll see later what that was referring to, but obviously including the Mishkan as well. So, Luchayda, they only used kosher animals. What's the Shaila? Moshe Rabbi Huda says Shnei Michsoyes Hoyu. We actually have a machlekes between Rabbi Huda and Nechemia. Rabbi Huda believed that there were two covers in the Mishkan. Echad shel oiros elim adamim, one was from those red rams, and beechad shel oiros chashim, one was the hides of the chashim. And Rabbi Nechemia says Michsa echad hoyu. There was only one cover, and the one cover, half of it was from the red rams, and half of it was a tachash. And it looked like, this tachash looked like, kimin tola ilan. It looked like this non-kosher animal, from like a leopard or something that has a lot of spots, and from the cat family. I'm not so exactly precisely sure what animal that is, but it looked like. Now, vahatola ilan, tamihoya, clearly there, we know that a leopard is not a kosher animal. So, what are you telling me that in the Mishkan it seems they use a tola ilan, which is from the cat family, not kosher? Says Yimor, that's not raya. That's not a question. The Braisa actually says ken min tola ilan hu. It doesn't say it was from that family. It says it looked like it from that family. It itself was a kosher animal. It was a very rare animal. It was only created for that moment, and it looked like that kind of an animal. She yesh by gavonim harbet, had many different colors. Of a light tolilin, it wasn't actually a tolilin. Kodilah hasam tami, tolilin itself, the cat family is forbidden. V'hachatoy, and over here, the animal was kosher, because in the Mishkan they only use kosher animals. So what was Rabbi Elazar's question? Rabbi Elazar support that view that it actually wasn't part of the cat family. If so, in the Targum, instead of saying that, you know, calling it a tol ilan, it called it a saska gavna, which really is made up of a word of shesos begavonim harbe, that it was very proud of the fact that it had so many different colors. In other words, it wasn't a tol ilan. It was more, the emphasis was the appearance, but not that it itself was. Anyway, so l'chayda, it should have been only a kosher animal in the Mishkan, comes along. So therefore, it should be resolved that only an or behemah tahira is mekabotum if it's the cover. Comes along, Rabban argues, Rabban says, no, or behemah tameya, I believe that the hide of a non-kosher animal is also metameh. Ke oil hames, by oil hames. If there's a corpse lying underneath it, not only does it transfer to him, but it itself becomes tummy. And how do I know? I'm going to learn out from the following place, from Tziras and Shrotzim, as we'll see. The Tanya, we learned by Tziras, it says, oi, it could have said just the hide. Instead, it says, oi, bi oil. Instead of oil, it says, bi oil. It talks about that, you know, the different materials that become tummy by Tziras, including the threads of the warp and the woof. And then it says the flax and wool. And then it says, oi, bit oil. What does bit oil mean in the hide? It comes to expand. And to tell you the what, rib, that it's coming to include even the oil of a not kosher animal. That oil, behem b'tmei, that's number one. Number two, it also comes to include ushaloka b'yad ha-koyin. Normally, it sounds like you have to have the tzaras first, and then you make your appearance to the kohen. What happens if while you're by the kohen, or after you showed your hand, you extended your hand to the kohen, suddenly a tzaras appeared? Before then, it didn't have it. So it says, bi'oid, again, to expand that even if it happened after you came to the kohen, you also become tummy. And the third thing is, kotzatz mekulon va'osa achas mehen. If you took a little bit of each material is mentioned in pasuk, linen, wool, hide, all that, and you made one thing and you joined them all together, minayin, how you know it's also mekabel tumas teras, tamalaymer, it says in the next part of pasuk, oy b'chol meleches oyd, or any melacha oyd, it means even if you just combine a little bit of each one of them, it combines. Okay, so therefore Rav is saying, I hold that a non-kosher animal's hide is also mekabel tuma, and I learn from Tarask, which says bit oil. And I argue with the previous Gemara, with Rada Barava. Says the Gemara, when I ask a question, you want to learn all the oil by mace from Tarask, I can ask you, my Nagoyim have a very big chumrah, shekain, shasiva, edib, that even a couple of threads. Remember, we learned before you have to have, you know, three fists or three fingers, but here even a couple of threads, the warp and the woof, are mekabel tamei, which we don't have by tumas mesa. Therefore, maybe you cannot learn from the goyim. Eli says, so Rava says, you're right, I'll grant you that. Goman mishrotzim. We will learn from shrotzim. The Tanya we learned, all I know is the hide of a kosher animal. How do you know the hide of a non-kosher animal? That you mekabel tum if you touch. It says a pasuk. Oi oir. It says oi oir. Where it talks about the shed that falls into a pot, it says there it comes tame either a piece of wood, a utensil of wood, or a garment, or a hide, or a sack, and so on and so forth. By saying oi, 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 comes to include, like we had 2 days ago, that oi, oi, yesterday also comes to include all the time. Saying, but again, you want to learn from Shrotzen, be clear, I can ask you a question. Malo Shrotzen, Shrotzen have a chumrah over Tumas HaMes, and that is, she came with tamin bikadosha. The size of a lentil is enough to generate tumor. Mashek and HaMes, you need a kezayis. So you can't learn from... And leprosy, you need the size of a gris. So you can't learn from Shrotzim to Tomei Ames. That over there, non-kosher animal hide. Tomei's over here also the same thing. So you might say, no, you're going Michichu. The guy will prove to you. It doesn't have that chumrah of Adosha. The Chozer Hadim, we go back and forth. Each one has a chumrah, that Shrotzim has a chumrah that's Metami, the size of a lentil. And what do you call it? And leprosy has a chumrah that even just threads of woven wool from kamtami. Loi roi zeh keroi zeh. The chumrah here is not the same as here. Loi roi zeh keroi zeh. The chumrah here is not the same as there. Hatzad hashav shebehen. What's the common denominator? Sheoir tamei behen. In both cases, that hide is tamei by them, and then furthermore, asa oir behemet meya ko oir behemet heider. And we equate a non-kosher hide to kosher hide. It makes no difference. Is afani obvious, so too I will conclude oil hames, so too when it comes to the oil above a corpse, she'oyr tamei boy, that the cover can be hide, and it is tamei. Because we learned right before from the Mishkan that oyr is a cover, because on top of the Mishkan you had all of these oyris, and there were covers. And then we'll say, v'nase boy, oyr behemet tamei, yekoyr behemet tamei. Once we've established that the oyr, the hide of an animal, is can be an oil, and it itself is mekabel tuma, then we will learn from Gris, we will learn from Shrotzim and from the Goyim, it makes no difference between kosher and non-kosher. Omele Rabbi Barnish Ravashi, he says, Rabbi Barnish Ravashi, Ikluzak, still ask a question of that. Mala Tzadish Rabban, you know what? Both leprosy and Shrotzim have a common chicane, Tamei, and Pachot Mekazais. Okay, the Shirim are different, but both of them are Metame less than the size of Kazais, either a lentil or the size of a gris by leprosy in the house. But Tamei bemest, but Tamei, on the other hand, by a mace, She'ain Metame, Elo Bekazais. By a mace, by leprosy, the size of a gris is very Metame, but by a mace, you need much larger size, you need the size of an olive. So at least both of them have that chumra over mace. So how do you know? How do you know that by tumas mace, we also say that a non-kosher animal is also an oil that it can generate tumah? Elamar v'zadon banish. Asya, we learn out, b'kavuchaymer, we learn out, kavuchaymer, menoitze shel izim. From the hair that's plucked by goats. And that is, she'ein mitameh b'negoyim. We learned before that by negoyim, the noitze of izim are not mitameh. It's only linen and wool and all that. But not the hair of a goat, and yet metame boil a mace. And yet it's metame, if you had a cover made out of goat hair, it's metame, because remember, we learned from the Mishkan. And we know by the Mishkan, they had the curtains made out of goat hair. They had a number of layers. One of them was Yiriyas Izim. They had goat hair. So we know that it's definitely called an oil. So we make a kavachimer. So madal by negoyim, this is not mekabel tuma. And yet by negoyim we say, oyr behemet tmeish metame negoyim, and yet we say by negoyim, if the oyr, the hide of a behemet becomes tummy, makes no difference if it's kosher or non-kosher. So surely ain't a din shematame by a mesa, surely oyr la mes. That the oyr has a chumra, that izim is metame by oil ames, it's an oil, then surely that it comes to the oyr, the hide of an animal, it should not only become tummy, it makes no difference if it's kosher, if a tardic animal or non-tardic animal. Says the Gemara, that's a question. So if you're going to tell me it makes no, but regarding the Mishkan, it makes no difference if it's kosher or non-kosher, Be'elohod, the Torah of Yosef. This Rabbi Yosef said, that when it comes to Melech HaShemayim, it should only be from a kosher animal. Okay, true. In the Mishkan, they only use kosher animals, but it can't be that that's what Rabbi Yosef is referring to, because Rashi says, "My dahava hava." Who cares? You know what happened happened. He's trying to tell you a din regarding other matters, and now you're telling me regarding tumah, it makes no difference if it's a kosher or a non-kosher animal. So, if so, tell me. So, what's Rabbi Yosef saying that from Melech HaShemayim can only use kosher animals? Says Gemara, you know what he's talking about? Let's fill in. Talking about writing the parshis of tefillin. It has to come from the hide has to be from a kosher animal. Tefillin, Gemara, tefillin behed yuksibu, it says mefedish. Leman tia toidas Hashem bipicha, that the toid of Hashem, the words of Hashem, should be able to enter your mouth. Min hamuta bipicha, it has to be written on an animal that is permitted into your mouth. El Gemara says, la oidun, we're not talking about the parshis, which the parshis is from, you learn from Leman tia toidas Hashem bipicha. We're talking about the hide, the batim. And the batim, which is made of leather hide, they also have to be from a kosher animal. And there you couldn't learn from the mantia traders and pichas. Says the Gemara. What do you mean? Vamar Rabbi Abayi says shin shel tefillin halacha meshem sinai. There is writing there on the tefillin, the batim as well, that it has to have the shin. And it's halacha meshem sinai. So therefore, it's included in the pasuk of leman tia traders hashem bepicha. That it has to be from a kosher animal. I don't need a separate limud. Big Machik Rashani, whenever it says Shin Shel Tefillin Lachem Hashinai, Rashi always brings the other parts of Hashem's name, the Dalad and the Yud, that the Dalad is the Ritzu in the back, and the Yud is either by the Shel Yad, that's sticking out from the Kesher, or the ends of the Ritzu, different opinions. But other Rashayim say it's only the Shin is Halachem Hashinai. The Dalad and Yud is not Halachem Hashinai. But regardless, so the oy, the batim, need to have to be from a kosher animal we know from somewhere else. Ella lekar chan. You know what you need to, you know what Rabbi Yosef didn't come teach you? If you have to wrap around the pouch is besar with the hair of the hide of an animal, it has to be from a kosher animal. Alotayfron, and when you sew together the pashias, begidon with the sinews, it has to be from a kosher animal. And since that's not the right, there's no writing on that, you wouldn't learn that from Toyda Shabbat Pichot, so that's what we need from Rabbi Yosef. Says Yimara Honami Halachal Meshav Sinu, that also is Halachal Meshav Sinu. The Tanya we learned, tefillin mirubois, to have square tefillin, is Halachal Meshav Sinu. You always have to make sure. And they say today that the maximum that you tefillin cannot be a square is up to a millimeter. If it's more than a millimeter out, you have to shave it down or something to make it square. Others say you don't have to be so medactic. Nikrochas b'sarin, and also halachal moshe mesina is that it has to be wrapped around with a hair from an animal. And when it's potter's begidin, it has to be sewn with a sinus. They all have to be kosher halachal moshe mesina. So I don't need a special limud from Yosef. Elolitzuas, I need it for the straps of the tefillin. They should come from a kosher animal. And the straps of the film come. You cannot learn from an amuta bepicha. Says the Gemara, "Van Rabbi Yitzchak Ritzuas Chaydom Mesina to have black Ritzuas Halacha Moshe Mesinai." And today they're able to make that the Ritzuas black on both sides. So it's a chumra, not just that one side should be black and one side should be white, but both sides. I remember we had one of the Amoraim who fasted because his film Ritzuas turned around. Nihi the Gemidi Shchaydus Abatayim Gemidi Halacha Mesina was only that it should be black, but never Halacha Mesina never discussed the source of these straps. And therefore, that's where we learn out from Rabbi Yosef. In Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham says that everything that we do for mitzvahs has to be from kosher animals. And there's a whole discussion, where does he know from? Because the Pasha's Gemara here, it seems, that only regarding tefillin straps. We're not talking about other mitzvahs. But we do have another Gemara where it's a conclusion that the whole Torah is equated to tefillin. So they say the Magen Avraham therefore learns that the Gemara is not stamp saying a vort, the whole Torah is equated to the film, but actually halacha, we learn halacha from them as well. That any mitzvah you do, the material used for a mitzvah should be from a kosher product. So the Gemara writes this, my havilah, bottom line, so what was this tachash? The tachash, what's the story with the tachash over the times of Moshe Rabbeinu? What was it? Said so, because we never resolved our question we had before. Was it a behemoth? Was it a chaya? It was a separate creature altogether. We don't know. You asked before if it was a kosher or non-kosher. We don't even know if it's a chaya or if it's a behemoth. We don't know what it is. In fact, everybody asks, Rashi Chumash says clearly it was a chaya when the Gemara remains with the question if it's a chaya or a behemoth. A number of people are trying to work out what's the difference. But anyway, the Kerenachas Hoysa is like a unicorn. It only had one horn, B'mitzchay, on its forehead. Ulefishah, and for that moment, Nizdam Ulele Moshe. Moshe caught this animal, or it happened to be there. But also met a Mishkan, and he used that for the Mishkan. V'nignis, and then it was hidden. B'dekamar Kerenachas Hoysa. We had a ruling, Maruchulin, that an animal with horns is kosher. Since it had a horn, Shema Menot Toiru, is that Ayah's Toiru. And how do we know that? Because Amr Yudah said, Shoir, Shehikriv, Odomadishan also brought a Shoir for a carbon. Keren Achaz Hoylem Ischav. It was a unicorn, it only had one horn. Shnemar, how do I know we only had one? He said, V'sitav La Hashem, it's better to Hashem, Mishoir Por, than Makrin and Mafris. That the Abish enjoyed it better than the Shoir Por that was brought Makrin. And we say Makrin means the single horn. So the Gemara Makrin, actually, if you read it Makrin, which is how you're supposed to read it, Tarti Masha means the horns. Amram Nachman, like he said, don't look at the way you read it. Look at the Yesh Ein L'Masayis Mekeren Ksiv. It is Mekeren from a horn. It could be said as if single horn, and that's what they want to say. Somebody forgot who answers that this whole Gemara goes only according to the one who says that Yesh Ein L'Masayis. Since the halach is Yesh Ein L'Mikra, so therefore it had two horns. And the tachash itself, we don't know if it was a tardig, if it's a behemoth, not just a chaya, it could have been a chaya. So the Gemara, the legion of mid behemoth, so you want to know what it was. So obviously, it's a behemoth, it had a horn, and you brought a carbon. So the Gemara, kivan ika kedesh, there's another animal, kedesh, the min chayu, which is actually a chaya, it also has only one horn, but less than the chodi kedem, iklemeh min chayu, that's why we're in doubt. The Klei Yochus has a beautiful thing in Chumash, why Adam Rishon brought a carbon with one horn. If I remember correctly, he says there that the whole idea of bringing a carbon of an animal with two horns is to remind us that when we did it, the Ramban says when you bring a carbon, you have to stand there and imagine that whatever is happening to the carbon should have happened to you. Part of that is to bring out by you tshuva. Part of that is not just punishment, but to make you aware of the damage that you did when you do an Aveda. When you do an Aveda, it's like you have two horns.
One is you're damaging yourself. Every time you do an aveda, it's making it easy for you to do another aveda. Plus, you're damaging the world around you. So you're using your horns against others. Adam Rishon, there was no world around him, just himself and Chava. So therefore, for Adam, when he committed an aveda, he only harmed himself. And each take a gufay. So therefore, the animal that he brought didn't require more than one horn. Says the Mishnah Baita, Psilas HaBeged, Shekiplam, the wick of a beged that was folded over. You spin the material and you fold it over. V'lohivava, nor did you light it first to make sure that it will burn properly when the second time when you light it. Israel Belezer says two things. First of all, Tamehi, he says a garment is a keli. As we'll see later, we learned a garment 3 fingers by 3 fingers, which is row for aniyim, is already mekabel tumah. So therefore, it's something mekabel tumah. And even though you folded it over, it's still considered a garment. It doesn't cancel the fact that it's a garment. And ein madlikim, but you shouldn't use it to light for Shabbos, because since you didn't light it first to make it easy to burn, it might not burn so well, and you might play around with it. Rabbi Akiva argues on both fronts. He says to Haidi, first of all, it's Torah. Once you folded it over, it's no longer a beged, no longer material. So therefore, it's not considered a beged to be mekabel tumah. A beged 3 fingers by 3 fingers is mekabel tumah only for anim. The reason is they use it as a patch. A rich person wouldn't have had a hole, it wouldn't patch. Just toss it out and get another one. Mashen Kane, an ani would have patches everywhere. And therefore, for him, it's significant 3 fingers by 3 fingers. But once it's folded over, Akiva says, it's no longer a beged. So therefore, it's not mekabel tumah. And umadlikim, but Akiva says, you don't have to light it first. You can light it, I'm not worried. And more explain the argument. As far as the tumah is concerned, I understand the argument. But how pligi? Rabbi Lezer holds that kippul einu moil, he holds that folding it up does not cancel its status of being a material. Uve milse kamaisa kaima, and he holds it still remains whatever it originally was. And Rabbi Kiva holds kippul moil, that when you fold it over, it cancels it from a beged. Uve tuli bottle, it's no longer a beged. Elin hadlaka my pligi. What's the argument about hadlaka when lighting it? According to Rabbi Lezer, he had to light it first and then extinguish it and then light it again for Shabbos. And according to Rabbi Kiva, it was not important. Amar Rabbi Lozer said in the Maida, Amar Rabbi Ishia, Vechere Bar Barava, Hachol. I'll tell you the circumstance here. We're talking about a case where you had a beged, which is precisely Begimel al Gimel Mitzum Tzomas. He had exactly 3 fingers by 3 fingers. And this is the situation. If it's more than 3 fingers, no problem. It's exactly 3 fingers. And the issue, according to him, was nothing to do with whether it burns well or doesn't burn well. The question is as follows. It's talking about where Yom Tov was on a Friday, and you have laws of Muktzah. And the question is whether there's a problem of Muktzah or not. What do you mean was a problem of Muktzah or not? Did you create something new that wasn't there before Yom Tov? What did you create? He explains. Uvi Yom Tov Shechol Erev Shabbos. We're talking about Yom Tov that fell out on a Friday. When there's Muktzah, that Friday, you want a light for Shabbos, you have to worry about whatever material you're using is not Muktzah. You didn't remove it from your mind. There's no knowledge there. Nothing new was created. Udu Kuleyam, another thing you have to understand is that everyone is Lud Rabbi Yehuda. So there's a number of variables you have to know before we can tell you what the argument is. They all agree with Rabbi Yehuda, there's a concept of Muktzah called Neilud. The Amar, who says, Masikin Bekelim, you're allowed to light Kelim, utensils on Yom Tov, because utensils are not Muktzah, you always had some intention to use them. But the Ein Masikin B'Shivri Kelim, you're not allowed to use Kelim that broke on Yom Tov, you cannot use the shards for lighting, for a fire, because it's Neilud. Prior to Yom Tov, it wasn't a shard. So you didn't anticipate it'll turn into a shard, so therefore, on Yom Tov itself, it is Muktzah, you cannot use it. It's called Neilud. Now, with the Kuli Alma East Lula. Furthermore, they all agree to Ula, the Amr who says Ula. Ula says, Hamadlik, when you light on Friday, it's not enough just to start the fire and walk away. Tzorek Shiyadlik, the Rev Hayetzi. You have to stand there and make sure that when you light there, you stand there with your hand with the fire and make sure that most of the wick is caught on fire. So you won't, and later on, play around with it. So therefore, we're talking about a garment that's exactly 3 by 3. And if you have to hold the light and continue lighting it, you just created, well, basically part of it burnt, so it's now less than 3 by 3. Less than 3 by 3, definitely it's no longer a garment. So you created a new, called a shever keli. You broke the keli. It's no longer a garment. You now have a problem of muktzah, because your finger still has to be there, continue lighting it until a big part of the wick is burning. Comes out that at this there's a stage there when it's now muktzah if you believe in neilud, and like Rabbi Yehuda says. So now we understand. Rabbi Lablezer saw a kippul einam moyalezer, that it was considered a beged, even though you folded it over, still had the laws of a beged. So when you lit it and now you reduced it from 3x3 to less than 3x3, you now have ruined the beged. It's no longer a beged, it's now a broken keli, and you broke it on Yom Tov. And therefore it's noilid. And the kiva the adlig beporta, once you lit a little bit, havale sheva keli, you broke, it's no longer a garment, broken keli. The chikomadlik, so when you continue holding your finger there and your fire there, is besheva keli, komadlik. You are now continuing to use a keli, which is not a broken keli, which is muktzah. That's why he says you cannot use it. But Abba Kiva holds, kipul moil, when you folded it before Yom Tov, it was no longer a garment. So therefore it was no longer a keli. It was already a sheva keli prior to Yom Tov. And therefore, the ain't taitus clear love. And because you definitely, you know, if when you fold it over, you turned it into a wick, you couldn't do that on Yom Tov, you now do that on Yom Tov. You must have done it before Yom Tov. So therefore, it was never a keli. The chikam madlik, so when you were lighting it on Yom Tov on Friday, for Shabbos, beis ba'alba kam madlik, it was a piece of wood. And therefore, there's no problem. That's why Rabbi Kiva was lenient, and Rabbi Lezer was machmer. Rabbi Yehuda, he says, now I understand the brice I never understood. Hainetanin, this is what we learned. That gimel al gimel mitzum tzomis, they taught me the following law, that 3x3 fingers mitzum tzomis, if it's exactly 3x3, this is the din. They never told me what din they're referring to, that has to be exactly 3x3. Now I know they're talking about. Talking about if Yom Tov falls on Friday or for Shabbos, and you have a beged exactly 3x3, and the machlekes Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva is whether you're allowed to light it, because according to Rabbi Lezer, even though you turned it into a wick, it's still considered a garment, and therefore if you're lighting it on Friday, you are turning it into a shever keli, and then it's muktzah, you're not allowed to go. I understand now exactly what they were telling me. Says the Gemara, Vaita, comes along Rav Adar Bar Ava, Liba Rav, was it? Yeah. Umidikom Betaritz, so I'm going to ask first a question. Umidikom Betaritz Rav Adar Bar Ava, Liba Rav Yehuda, since Rav Adar Bar Ava is explaining the Mishnah, according to Rav Yehuda holds a muktzah, now remember, it's a machleki, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, whether there's muktzah or not of Neulet. Rav Yehuda says there is. Shmamen, okay, Rav Yehuda's Felix, obvious, then Rav Adar Bar Ava, Paschal, Rav Yehuda, that there is muktzah, and he's explaining, that's the crux of the argument, that Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva both agree that there's muktzah, there's Neulet, they're only arguing whether it's a keli or not a keli. But the question is, I mean, Rav Adar Bar Ava, Hachi, did Rav Adar Bar Ava attack a rule like Rav Yehuda? Rav Adar Bar Ava, here, Rav Adar himself once said, that Nochri, a goy, Shechokak Kav, a guy that went ahead and carved out the biggest of the soul, he carved out a certain measure from a wooden piece of wood, a piece of wood that belonged to a yid, is masika b'yantiv, you're allowed to light on yantiv, even though it's muktzah because it's noilah, it wasn't there before yantiv. If it was a guy's stick, then the guy can do with it on yantiv whatever he wants, there's no real noilah here. But a yid, because it belonged to a yid, and the yid cannot carve out from his wood on Yom Tov. So obviously, once Yom Tov started, this wood is going to remain a piece of wood. So anything, any changes you make to it is noilid, something brand new. So we see clearly for Rav Adar Bar Ava, it does not worry about noilid. But my, if he passes like Rav Yehuda, noilid is noilid. So how can he explain the Mishnah according to Rav Yehuda when he clearly rules the halachos like Rav Shimon? Says he, well, what's not a problem? He's explaining their views. He personally holds like Rav Shimon. However, Rav gives a different answer. I'll tell you what the crux of the argument, the mission is. Rav Amar, high time, Rav Elezer. You know why Rav Elezer says he shouldn't light with his beged that folded over? That's because it's tummy, he shouldn't light. Okay, tell me where he explained. But you know why he says he shouldn't light? He holds that you shouldn't light with a wick that hasn't been lit first, that burnt a little bit first, that haven't been burnt first. Because if you don't light it properly first once to catch a fire, so the idea of fire is ever caught on, then you extinguish it, then you light it for Shabbos, it'll burn well. Otherwise, if you light it for the first time, it jumps around and you might be tempted to play around with a wick. Says the Gemara, so that's the crux of the argument. Rabbi Kiva holds, I'm not concerned. You don't have to light the wicks first and then extinguish and light it again. And Rabbi Lezer holds, you do. El Hoda told Rabbi Yisrael Gimel Gimel Mitzvah Tzomis. My Hichasa. This Rabbi Yisrael writes that 3x3 fingers that are exactly what the rule is. Leinyan Tum. So Luchayde Rabbi Yisrael said before. Now I understand this particular saying of my Rebbe's according to Rav Adar Bar Ava. What was the saying all about? He said, "Le'inyan tumah." It's regarding Tumah. And what were they talking about? Something totally different. We know that three fingers by three fingers, but you know, you have material, so you have strands that are sticking out. And usually when you have a, a patch, you put on clothing, you make a little bit of a seam from these strands and everything else. So when you count three, you calculate the three fingers by three fingers, do you include these strands which you're going to use as a seam, or it's talking about this patch itself, not the seam? So that now we learn Gimel Chutz Min Hamol is not referring to the seam, the Divrei Rav Shimon, or the little strings that are sticking out. And the Chachamim say Gimel Al Gimel Mechuvanas. Chachamim say that it's all inclusive, and that's what he was referring to. Now, fascinating Tesis here. If you look at the Tesis here on top of the page, if you don't mind, we'll learn for a minute. Chavtesim Rala, the top Tesis Rava, the first narrow line. So we have a machlekes here, the way the Rambam and Rava learns between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, whether you have to light your wicks Friday night before Shabbos. For once, and then extinguish it and light it again. So look what he says. If in Italy, it seems to me, the bechinam nohagu anoshim, for no apparent reason, the women have a custom, lahadli kapsila, to light the wick, the lechbeisa, and to extinguish it. Kadesha tehei muv heves, in order that it should burn better. The ha'ein halacha k'Rabbi Elazar, the halacha cannot be like Rabbi Elazar, the shamutihu. Rabbi Elazar follows Shammai, or he was put in Chedim, and we don't follow Rabbi Elazar. So therefore he says, there's no reason to have this minig that you light your wicks, you extinguish it, and then you light it again. Now, in Shulchan Aruch it says that a man, the Mishmura says, that a man should light the candles, the wicks, in preparation for Shabbos, extinguish it, and then the woman lights again. For this very reason, it should burn better. Taisa says, Bechinim. So it could very well be that the reason why the many poskim hold that the man should do it is because for women, taka makes no sense. Why are they doing it? You don't have to. But since the mitzvah of lighting candles devolves on men and women, so we should have some kind of an input in the mitzvah, and women are the ones who are lighting it. So therefore, like the men took upon themselves to light it and extinguish it, even though it's totally unnecessary, as Taisa says right here, we still did it in order to be part of it. The Alter Rebbe Hichas Yamtiv seems to be saying that it's not really the man's job. But regardless, maybe that's where the mini came in, that many men light the candles before and then extinguish it and light it again. Okay, that completes today's Gemara. Now regarding